The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Effective parenting is a privilege and responsibility unmatched in many ways. And yet, happy parents are getting harder and harder to find nowadays. Fatherhood and motherhood are honors to be relished and enjoyed and fully engaged in throughout life. When this is done, the satisfaction and rewards for all concerned are rich and lasting. Effective parenting produces benefits for children and adults alike that get bigger and better as time goes along. And these blessings never stop. I want to read to you some quotes from a speech given by President Theodore Roosevelt on March 13, 1905. He was addressing the National Congress of Mothers in Washington, D.C. And he was talking about family life and the traditional family and motherhood and fatherhood. I want to break into a paragraph and read to you some quotes from this wonderful speech that President Roosevelt gave. But far more important than the question of the occupation of our citizens is the question of how their family life is conducted. No matter what that occupation may be, as long as there is a real home, and as long as those who make up that home do their duty to one another, to their neighbors, and to the state, it is of minor consequence whether the man's trade is plied in the country or in the city, whether it calls for the work of the hands or for the work of the head, President Roosevelt said. He goes on to say, no piled-up wealth, no splendor of material growth, no brilliance of artistic development will permanently avail any people unless its home life is healthy, unless the average man possesses honesty, courage, common sense, and decency, unless he works hard and is willing at need to fight hard, and unless the average woman is a good wife, a good mother, able and willing to perform the first and greatest duty of womanhood, able and willing to bear and to bring up as they should be brought up, healthy children, sound in body, mind, and character, and numerous enough so that the race shall increase and not decrease. He goes on to say, just as the happiest and most honorable and most useful task that can be set any man is to earn enough for the support of his wife and family, for the bringing up and starting in life of his children, so the most important, the most honorable and desirable task which can be set any woman is to be a good and wise mother in a home marked by self-respect and mutual forbearance, by willingness to perform duty, and by refusal to sink into self-indulgence or avoid that which entails effort and self-sacrifice. Mr. Roosevelt continued, the woman who is a good wife, a good mother, is entitled to our respect as is no one else. But she is entitled to it only because, and so long as, she's worthy of it. Effort and self-sacrifice are the law of worthy life, for the man as for the woman. Though neither the effort nor the self-sacrifice may be the same for the one as for the other. Continuing to read from this speech by President Roosevelt. I believe in the woman keeping her self-respect just as I believe in the man doing so. I believe in her rights just as much as I believe in the man's, and indeed a little more. And I regard marriage as a partnership in which each partner is in honor bound to think of the rights of the other as well as of his or her own. But I think that the duties are even more important than the rights, and in the long run, I think that the reward is ampler and greater for duty well done than for the insistence upon individual rights, necessary though this too must often be. As he speaks to mothers gathered at this Congress of Mothers, President Roosevelt says this, your duty is hard, your responsibility great, but greatest of all is your reward. I do not pity you in the least. On the contrary, I feel respect and admiration for you. Into the woman's keeping is committed the destiny of the generations to come after us. Just think about how important that is. Into the woman's keeping is committed the destiny of the generations to come after us. He goes on to say, in bringing up your children, you mothers must remember that while it is essential to be loving and tender, it is no less essential to be wise and firm. Foolishness and affection must not be treated as interchangeable terms. And besides training your sons and daughters in the softer and milder virtues, you must seek to give them those stern and hardy qualities which in afterlife they will surely need. Some children will go wrong in spite of the best training, and some will go right even when their surroundings are most unfortunate. Nevertheless, an immense amount depends upon the family training. If you mothers through weakness bring up your sons to be selfish and to think only of themselves, you will be responsible for much sadness among the women who are to be their wives in the future. If you let your daughters grow up idle, perhaps under the mistaken impression that as you yourselves have had to work hard, they shall know only enjoyment, you are preparing them to be useless to others and burdens to themselves. Teach boys and girls alike that they are not to look forward to lives spent in avoiding difficulties, but to lives spent in overcoming difficulties. Teach them that work for themselves and also for others is not a curse but a blessing. Seek to make them happy, to make them enjoy life, but seek also to make them face life with the steadfast resolution to wrest success from labor and adversity, and to do their whole duty before God and the man. Surely she who can thus train her sons and her daughters is thrice fortunate among women. President Roosevelt also said this in this speech: "The way to give a child a fair chance in life is not to bring it up in luxury, but to see that it has the kind of training that will give it strength of character." And I might add, that kind of training takes time and effort and dedication and determination. It isn't easy. President Roosevelt, a family man first and foremost, who had a large family, and that was his greatest joy in life. He said this, I want to read that again. "The way to give a child a fair chance in life is not to bring it up in luxury, but to see that it has the kind of training that will give it strength of character. Even apart from the vital question of national life and regarding only the individual interest of the children themselves, happiness in the true sense is a hundredfold more apt to come to any given member of a healthy family of healthy-minded children, well brought up, well educated, but taught that they must shift up, well educated, but taught that they must shift for themselves, must win their own way, and by their own exertions make their own positions of usefulness, then it is apt to come to those whose parents themselves have acted on and have trained their children to act on the selfish and sordid theory that the whole end of life is to taste a few good things." How pathetic it is when parents take that approach, and yet more and more are doing just that. To teach their children to focus on getting things instead of building character, virtue, and qualities of life that will take them far and bring success throughout the years of their life. President Roosevelt concludes this speech by saying this, and it's very important, so I hope we'll take notice. "The woman's task is not easy. No task worth doing is easy. But in doing it, and when she has done it, there shall come to her the highest and holiest joy known to mankind. And having done it, she shall have the reward prophesied in Scripture. For her husband and her children, yes, and all people who realize that her work lies at the foundation of all national happiness and greatness, shall rise up and call her blessed." Those are marvelous words of wisdom by a man who was very intelligent, well-read, very informed, and a thoroughly happy family man who relished life and lived vigorously with the children that he was blessed to have. Much of what he said is based on what the Bible says. Let's see an example of that. Go get your Bible and follow along, and let's just notice what God has to say about many of these values and standards we just read from this speech given by President Roosevelt in 1905. Take your Bible and let's follow along together. Let's turn first to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 regarding women and mothers. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She is so magnificent and so rare that it is a tremendous privilege to find a virtuous woman. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil." She's not going to run around trying to be so self-absorbed that she starts damaging the marriage and overlooking and neglecting the children in the home. "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life," and she sets out to do that very thing. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She enjoys working, and she enjoys what work brings about, good things for everybody. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She does whatever is necessary to take care of her family, her husband, her home, herself. Verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and gives food to her household and a portion to her maidens, to other people that need help and that need provision. She's generous. She's not selfish. She's outgoing. She's not inward thinking. Let's notice Proverbs 31 and verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's not full of gossip and scatterbrained chatter. She has interesting conversations and interesting things to say and thoroughly worthwhile observations to make. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household, her whole household, and eats not the bread of idleness. She takes breaks. She's balanced. She has fun. She has different recreational interests. But her primary focus is on her home and her family. And also, I might add, on her relationship with God. Look what happens, just as President Roosevelt said would happen. Verse 28 of Proverbs 31. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, and rightfully so. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. You Proverbs 31 woman, you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Eternal, she shall be praised and rewarded and blessed, and I might add, in the end, given salvation, because she fears her God and obeys Him, and she follows the requirements that He lays out in His Word pertaining to wives, mothers, and Christian women. Verse 31, Proverbs 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What an honor to be a woman and a mother, successful and growing more and more successful as a homemaker, a guide, and one who brings up her children in the way they ought to go, and as a wife who does her husband good all her days. Anyone blessed to know a woman like that, to be married to a woman like that, to have a mother like that, should appreciate her, thank her, respect her, and praise her, and do it often. That is a wonderful example right there in Proverbs 31 of true godly motherhood. You know, there's other verses in the Bible that talk about true godly fatherhood, and it's a very serious matter. I want to turn to one. It's over here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Notice how serious it is. Now, it's rewarding and it's a tremendous blessing and it's certainly fulfilling, but it's also sobering to be the one that God charges with providing for, taking care of, watching over, and looking after a home and a wife and children. And that's what He charges husbands and fathers with. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It's talking about husbands and fathers here, and it says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, takes care of his responsibilities, does so regarding shelter and food and clothing, but also it involves training and education and recreation, teaching the way to live life abundantly and teaching the way to live life according to what God says. He's the leader. He's the head of the house. He looks after his responsibilities in caring for his wife and in caring for his children. And he does it enthusiastically and with great joy and diligence, but he also realizes it takes hard work and sacrifice. And that's what he's going to do. He loves doing that. And here's what God says to those husbands and fathers who will not do that and who just shift that off on somebody else and avoid it and run from it and neglect it and back out of their responsibilities in the home. Look what he says, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's a very powerful charge. If you're in that category, you better repent and change quickly because you're in trouble with God. And if you're not in that category, good for you. Keep up the good work. There's another verse over here talking to fathers that I want us to turn to and read. Let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Here's a scripture that is loaded with tremendous direction and tremendous instruction about the very rewarding and wonderful and yet sobering and serious responsibilities on the shoulders of any man who leads the household properly and the family properly. It says here in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers," these are specific, direct requirements God gives through the Apostle Paul to fathers. Will we heed it? Will we take notice of it? Will we step up and fulfill these requirements? I've known many fathers who do and who have and who are right now. But I also have known many who are not. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, in the training, and admonition of the Lord." Do you ever have any kind of discussions with your children regarding God and the Bible and His way of life? Do you sit down and discuss with the whole family the things that won't work in this world and how they can avoid them and stay away from those pitfalls, including staying away from people who set those pitfalls or who lead them over the edge into those pitfalls? How are they going to learn any of these things if you don't train them and teach them and talk to them about them and show them what works and what doesn't work? They're not going to find this out except the hard way, and then it'll probably be too late. What a great joy to be able to pass on instruction to the family that will help them be happy and joyous and successful and productive instead of being miserable and trapped in a world full of failures and full of defeat. Parents can make the difference in all of that. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it says right here in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and that's a daily requirement all the way into adulthood. And it takes a daily plan based on love and concern and care, and especially based on example, showing how good things are done as well as teaching good things to the children and to the family. And it must be done by both parents, the father and the mother, and they work as a team together. Now, I know there are exceptions where homes are broken up and where there's abuse and where there's only one parent. And God says He will be a father to the fatherless. And if the mother is left there to raise the children, He'll help her do that. And other relatives can help her do that, that will lend the masculine, manly aspect to the equation. And the same with men who are left with children to bring up. God will help him do that and other friends and relatives to add the female and mother's touch to the family. But fundamentally speaking, whatever the case might be, we are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That takes diligence, and it takes hard work, and it takes sacrifice, but it brings great rewards. Let's turn to another verse in Proverbs that makes this plain. Let's turn over here to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. This is a famous verse. You've probably heard it, and that's good, and I hope you have. But here's the question. Are we really following what it says? Are we carrying out the responsibility that it lays out so clearly for all of us who are parents? It says, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, or she, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, or when she is old, she will not depart from it." Now, this training involves every aspect of life. It involves teaching good manners, the work ethic, how to learn, how to study, how to respect authority. It involves how to have good fun, how to follow the rules, how to win and be happy, how to lose and handle that well. It also involves teaching each one of our children individually about God, His Word, and His way of life. The Ten Commandments and the principles contained in there that bring rich blessings and tremendous success. Training up a child involves teaching them skills, teaching the girls skills about femininity and being ladylike and homemaking skills. And the boys, how to be masculine and manly, skills about hard work and how to use tools and various aspects of working and getting along with a crew and a boss and a supervisor. All of that's in there, but it also involves teaching our children how to pray, how to study, how to put things in context, how to be positive, not negative, how to be optimistic and not have defeatism as their approach to life. What a privilege and what a joy to be able to pass all of this along to wonderful, obedient, responsive children. And if you have that kind of household, what a tremendous blessing you are enjoying. And if you don't have that kind of household, you can have that kind of family and that kind of home. All you have to do is decide, I want to change things around here, and I want to live life the way God says I should live life. And so now I'm going to start down that road and going in that direction. And step by step, you start moving away from where you are now in the wrong place toward the right place of the principles, concepts, and qualities that we're talking about right here. And other people who know a lot about these principles and qualities and have for many years, such as President Theodore Roosevelt, learning those standards and learning those principles and learning those qualities. And above all, what does the Bible have to say about it? What in your life is more important than training up your children in the way they should go? I don't know of anything more important than that. Too many parents today expect others to train their children and to raise them. And then, when they don't turn out so good, they blame others for the problems. We live in a society now where parents too often just dump their children on anyone that'll take them. Take them into school early and let the teachers raise their kids all day, and the teachers are not able to do that. They have too many other things to do, and besides that, that's not their responsibility. Your children are not their children. Your children are your children. Dump them on relatives and expect the relatives to feed them and clothe them and raise them, and just impose on people that way. Get rid of the kids. Push them aside. Bring in babysitters and take off and do their own thing. So many parents do that today. And I'll tell you, if that's what's being done in your home, your children know that they're not wanted. They know when they're loved, and they know when they're not loved. And when they're loved, they're happy. They have peace of mind. They flourish and grow and blossom and bloom. And when they're not loved and when they're not cared for, they shrink up. They turn inward. They begin to have complexes, and they begin to have all kinds of doubt and misgivings, and then they get into wrong practices and wrong habits and start getting around wrong people and doing wrong things. And a lot of times they'll be wild and obnoxious just because they're looking for love and attention from you, which they can't get any other way. And when they get attention that way, it's usually harsh and mean and hateful. What a sad state of affairs that so many homes are just like that. But that can be changed. We can begin to let our children know we love them. We can care for them and give them attention. We can be gentle and kind and patient. We can tuck them in bed at night and have meals with them in the day. We can sit down and listen to their concerns. We can help them with their homework. Wherever we go, we take them with us. We don't dump them off on somebody else. Whatever we do, we include them. We include them in things we do around the home and things we do at work when we can. We include them in things we do to have fun when we can, and it's good, clean fun. We share things together with our family. That's a rich family. That's a happy family. That's a very productive, successful family. That's a family that's going to be together for life. How much more rewarding is that than just everybody go their own way and have nothing to do with one another, and then when they are adults, nobody even knows where the other is? That's what's happening in all too many cases. The kind of family that you can have is described in Psalms 127 and verse 1. Let's turn there. Psalms 127 and verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain." The home, the family, the marriage, the children must have God at the center of it if it's going to be the totally successful family that God wants it to be. For any family to reach its full potential, for the traditional family to go as far and as high as God has designed it to go, we have to have God at the center of that family. And we can do that. And He's willing and He's ready and He's able and He wants to be right in the middle of all that we do if we'll just look to Him and yield to Him and submit to Him and try to live life His way. That's why it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." Notice verse 2, Psalms 127. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep." It's vain for you to try to take care of all of your responsibilities and be a father and be a mother and take care of your children in the household without God in the picture. You're going to find out that you run out of energy and you run out of answers. But when you bring God into the middle of the equation, you have answers, you have solutions, and you have strength and energy to carry out the responsibilities and duties that family life entails and requires. Verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Eternal, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Did you notice that? Children are not a burden. They're not a trophy that's to be shown to get people to think you're great and then just cast them aside. They're not obstacles to happy living. They are a reward. They are a heritage. That's what it says here in Psalms 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Eternal, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Verse 5, Psalms 127. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Happy is a family that is living life God's way and with Him at the very center of that home and of that family. This is how God sees children and parents and family life. Happy, obedient, successful children should and can be the norm in every home and in every family. Don't settle for anything less for your sake and for their sakes. Notice how Jesus Christ sees children and parents and family. And He's perfect. He's right. He never makes any mistakes and never speaks anything that isn't true. Turn with me to Matthew 18 and verse 1. Matthew 18 and verse 1 says this, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is talking about an obedient little child. One that's full of life and anticipation and responsiveness toward the parents. One that's happy and enthusiastic. One that is teachable and wants to do the right thing. That's what we all have to become in terms of our attitude. Not having childish ways, no, but having the attitude of being teachable, of loving life, of loving others, and of being enthusiastic and happy and anticipating what life has to offer as we do the right thing. That's the kind of children Jesus Christ is describing here. He's saying, bring children closer and try to learn to have the attitude they have of love, appreciation, happiness, joy, kindness, trust, and humility. That's what he's saying. Parenting is a privilege. It's an opportunity. Children are a blessing. They are a reward. Family is the center of gravity in a happy, successful, abundant way of life. We have more information on family life, and it's all free of charge. If you're interested in our specific material about happy family living, all you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Also ask for Straightforward Magazine. It has information in there about family in just about every issue. That's Straightforward Magazine. Just ask for it. We'll send it to you by return mail at no cost to you. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. Or visit our website at straightforward.org.